This is Ag Outlook 2021 on the Mid-America Ag Network. Ag Outlook 2021 is brought to you by the Kansas Livestock Association, Kansas Wheat Commission, S&W Seed, Kansas Corn Growers Association, and P&B Insurance. Ag Outlook 2021, a look at the coming year in agriculture. Last week, we took a look at row crops, sweet corn, soybeans, cotton, milo. And this week, we'll take a look at livestock as we continue our look at what the coming year might hold for agriculture. Ag Outlook 2021 on the Mid-America Ag Network. I'm your host, Craig Mead. A new president was sworn in on Wednesday. A new administration always brings questions. I spoke with Kansas Livestock Association CEO Matt Teagarden, and I asked if we could see some major changes in ag policy.
We'll certainly see some changes, and probably some changes in terms of kind of the top priorities for the new administration. But that said, there's a lot of familiarity with some of the key nominees at this point, individuals that have been forwarded for key positions, starting with former Secretary Vilsack and nominated to be Secretary Vilsack. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a lot of experience with him during his 8 years serving under President Obama. Tom Vilsack certainly is, he has strong focus on agriculture, lots of experience in agriculture, comes back to USDA from a role with the dairy industry, focused on dairy exports, which to me is very positive for livestock producers overall. I think exports are key for growth for whether it's beef or dairy products. There's lots of opportunities in export markets, and I think he'll be well positioned to advance that.
Of course, exports are very important to United States agriculture. Aaron Bohr with the United States Meat Export Federation says export markets are very complex.
Right, Craig. Well, as you can imagine, it's fairly complicated. And I fully expect that to continue into 2021. But on kind of the higher level, the United States maintains its supply advantage. So beef and pork production in this country will be close to or record large next year. And that contrasts with the situation, especially in Australia. So continued tight supplies of beef. Next year, they've been in strong herd rebuilding mode. So their production could be bottoming this year, but still maintaining those lower levels into 2021. So call it down 15 to 17% on production, and exports basically mirror that. So tight supplies for our biggest competitor continuing into next year. And on the pork side, Europe maintaining still large production, but coming off a percentage point or so this year and kind of sustaining that trend into next year. Big questions as to what happens in Germany. Producers losing a lot of money in a terrible situation with African swine fever. Mm-hmm. Overlay that with increased cost of production because of animal welfare and environmental regulations, which were already coming into play in 2021. So pretty difficult situation for Europe's biggest producing member state. And questions there, kind of the future of Europe's production. And those were even highlighted by the European Commission itself in its update and medium-term outlook last week. So kind of trying to keep it high level, we do maintain the supply advantage going into next year.
So there's plenty of beef for the export market, and there's plenty of beef for domestic use. And you would think that that would translate into lower prices at the grocery store, but Brady Charles at Schwederman Incorporated says that's not necessarily the case.
That's something that over the course of the last year and a half has changed drastically. The final product that goes to the grocery store is a negotiated price, just like the beginning product. And the retail chain negotiates it with the packer, and the packer is always looking for an advantage to come out smelling like a rose.
Mm-hmm.
They used the Tyson plant in Holcomb, Kansas fire as a excuse to raise beef prices, and it worked for them. So then they used the COVID crisis going around the nation and the world as a reason to increase beef prices, and it worked for them. I think the packing industry has figured out that they can use any little issue to raise their bottom line and raise the beef price on the shelf. Now, the big issue with them is they're not giving nearly enough of that back to the guy that raises the cattle.
Charles says beef producers need to be very aware of any changes in policy, both domestically and worldwide.
And I do think that we probably see beef prices at the counter continue to rise steadily in months and years to come. Currently, we're $8 higher than we were at the beginning of the year on the choice cutout on a daily basis.
Wow.
I think we look for that to continue to rise. Generally, during the late spring, early summer time periods, we see during the February, early March time periods, we see a little bit of a drop in those prices, and then summertime prices generally set highs of the year.
Right. Grilling season, and those are some, the better cuts of meat go out, and not just hamburger, but some of the better steaks and stuff go out about, you know, during the summertime for grilling season.
Yeah.
So
we're also ready to get out and grill. You know,
right.
We missed that last summer.
Oh,
we missed family gatherings. We missed opportunities to get together and say, hey, 15 of my friends are coming over, so I got to buy 30 hamburgers tonight.
Yeah.
And we're so ready for that to come about again that if we can start doing that again this summer, I think the demand for beef will be extremely high.
Yeah.
And therefore, the retail price probably will go up a little bit more.
Josh Mueller, co-owner of El Dorado Livestock Auction in El Dorado, Kansas, agrees that COVID had at least a temporary impact.
I would say at the beginning of COVID there, when we started seeing some shutdowns and whatnot, I think it was just more apprehension, you know, as far as sales in the sale barn and movement of calves and feeder cattle. You know, there was probably a few weeks in there that it was a little rough, but then it kind of leveled out, and I would say it, for the most part, it was business as usual.
Mueller says it will be more expensive to raise beef.
We're dealing with higher cost of gains. The grain markets have really flexed here, you know, in the last 30 to 45 days. And so we're looking at definitely higher cost of gains in the feed yards and background and yards and that type of thing. That's probably what we're our biggest threat right now.
That's Josh Mueller at El Dorado Livestock Auction. There's a lot more still to come on Ag Outlook 2021. Don't go away. Join Kansas Corn and K-State Research and Extension for our Kansas Corn School webinar series. While we'll miss seeing you in person, we are hosting three webinars patterned after our popular Kansas Corn Schools. Featuring top speakers from K-State and Kansas Corn, the Kansas Corn School webinars on January 21st, February 4th, and February 11th are a great way to prepare for the 2021 growing season. Register to get your Zoom access code today for the Corn School webinars at kscorn.com. The Kansas Livestock Association serves as a voice for 5,700 members on legislative and regulatory issues and stands as a resource for information pertaining to their businesses. KLA places a high value on the traditions of the past, yet seeks to be progressive enough to embrace the future. With a story that began over a century ago, KLA's mission to advance members' common business interests and enhance their ability to meet consumer demand endures. Whatever the future holds for Kansas livestock producers, they can count on one thing. KLA will be their riding point. For more information, go to KLA.org.
The Kansas Wheat Innovation Center in Manhattan is rediscovering ways to get improved varieties and new genetics in the hands of farmers faster. Grower-led and checkoff-funded research initiatives are bringing about positive change. This grassroots leadership provides a strong voice in Topeka and Washington, D.C. Kansas Wheat Commission and Kansas Association of Wheat Growers, farmers investing in their future and yours. Log on to rediscoverwheat.org.
If you plant row crops, now is the time to get signed up for crop insurance with PNB Insurance in Wichita. Ron and Dan Pilecki have years of experience and can help you determine what the best coverage is for your farm. Insurance will never replace what a good crop will produce.
So don't let unpredictable weather destroy your year's work.
Call Ron and Dan Pilecki today at PNB Insurance in Wichita, 1-800-722-9525. That's 1-800-722-9525. Grain sorghum producers, listen up. Sorghum Partners has an excellent hybrid for your farming needs. SP43M80 is a high-yielding, medium early grain sorghum with excellent sugarcane aphid tolerance. SP43M80 can handle drought stress and work well in dryland acres.
It's also a great choice for full season or double crop.
Ask your local Sorghum Partner dealer about SP43M80 or go online for more information at sorghumpartners.com. That's sorghumpartners.com.
Welcome back to Ag Outlook 2021 on the Mid-America Ag Network. I'm Craig Mead, talking about livestock this week. We've covered a few topics already. In this second segment, we'll cover a few more as we take a look at what things might happen for agriculture in 2021. Up until now, we've been talking about beef, and we'll get back to that. But Kansas and Oklahoma both grow a fair amount of hogs, both states in the top 10 list of states in terms of production, according to the USDA. But the overall hog herd is shrinking, according to Dr. Steve Meyer of Partners for Production Agriculture.
December 1, inventory, all hogs and pigs, 77.502 million head. That number is down 0.9%, almost precisely on what the average of analysts' pre-report estimates. Kept for breeding, 6.276 million head, 3% smaller than a year ago. The analysts expected that number to only be down 1.8%, so a little bit of difference there. Kept for marketing, 71.226 million head, down 0.7%, quite close to the analysts' pre-report estimates of down 1%.
Kansas checked in with 2.1 million head, Oklahoma at 2.2 million, but with those revisions downward from the USDA in terms of all states, when you couple that with the smallest breeding herd since early 2018 and the largest decline in the breeding herd since December of 2014, it makes a much different market.
All except for the heaviest weight class of market hog inventories are down compared to the same time last year, which is bullish news.
That's Jason Franken, a swine economist of Western Illinois University. He says pork producers' supply of market-ready hogs was smaller than anticipated, and he says that number of hogs weighing less than 180 pounds and nearly 2.5% smaller than a year ago. Those are the hogs expected for processing from January to May.
Taking all this into account, there is the possibility of profitable hog prices, especially throughout the summer of 2021.
Franken says the projections, of course, assume the continued strong demand for pork, even in the face of COVID-19. However, he says if that is not the case, or if hog supply turns out to be greater than anticipated, then lower prices could be revealed. So we've seen, for the most part, continued strong demand for hogs. We've seen strong demand for our beef as well. In fact, China is eating more beef than ever.
They went from about 0.4% of their domestic consumption from beef in 2011 to 17.5% in 2018 being sourced by imports. Pork went from 0.8% in 2011 to 2.6%. in 2018.
That's ag economist Carl Zuloff. Now, keep in mind there were huge increases in pork imports to China in 2019 and 2020, but he dismisses those as anomalies that were directly related to the African swine fever breakout that decimated China's hog herd, and he says they're not likely to continue. Back to beef, he says from 2011 to 2018, the annual increase in beef imports was 423 million pounds per year.
They were importing an additional, each year, an average increase of 423 million pounds of beef and 235 million pounds of pork. So that's That's quite an annual increase.
With China and other countries importing lots more beef and domestic demand remains very strong, Kansas Livestock Association's Matt Teagarden says the future for beef is looking really good.
It is. And again, you know, we were sitting, if you look back at a year ago, you know, January 2020, pre-COVID, obviously, but while we were really positioned for some good things, we had coming off finalizing some really positive trade agreements. The agreement with China, we had wrapped up an agreement with Japan that lowered tariffs on our products going into Japan. Really positioned well with a booming or strong economy and strong economy worldwide for some real positive economic times for livestock producers. COVID disrupted that, but I remain optimistic. I think we remain optimistic that we get past this, that, you know, vaccination, et cetera, that there's still the circumstances still are in place for there to be quite a few opportunities for livestock producers. And you know, we've seen continued strength even with, you know, unemployment you know, popping up and certainly some folks both here in the States and you know, around the world that have struggled, have been impacted more than others by COVID. But you know, I think we continue to believe we're positioned pretty well for opportunities as they come.
Of course, opportunities are good, but they rarely come without some form of change. In my conversation with Brady Charles from Schwederman Incorporated, I asked about one of those changes. It seems like slaughter weights are sneaking up there. I don't know what that's based on exactly, but it seems to me like the weights at slaughter have been sneaking up. Am I accurate with that?
Yeah, the dressed weights, which are the most widely followed weights, there's a few different ways to follow weights, but the dressed weights on a weekly basis have been sneaking up, and that's basically the meat that comes off the animal. Those weights actually hit what I believe are all-time highs back in the last week of November. Wow. I only keep data on those back until the beginning of 2016, so they're at least 5-year highs, and that's to do with a lot of things. That's to do with a lot of what we just talked about, with not being able to gather and have barbecues for the last year,
right,
now.
Yeah.
And those cattle have just sat in the feed yard a little bit longer and a little bit longer, and week by week they just get slightly larger, and a larger animal means you need less animals to kill every week to get the same amount of beef. So it's just kind of been a revolving snowball effect upon itself.
It's been kind of what you'd call a vicious circle in that regard.
It has. Now, I do think that we probably see weights start to come back down a little bit with what the corn price is doing. You know, if at 65 to 75 cents, you can afford to leave them in the feed yard and put a few more pounds on them. At a dollar plus, you're starting to get to where you want them to come out lighter because it's cost them too much to put that extra pound on them. Your cost of gain is no longer a positive number versus your profit of sale.
Of course, that is the idea, to keep things as profitable as possible in agriculture. All in all, though, it seems like everybody that I spoke with in putting this show together seems to think that 2021 stands poised to be a pretty decent year for agriculture in general, and specifically, as we talked about last week, grains and soybeans and cotton should fare fairly well, and it seems that most folks think that the livestock industry will do okay this year as well, especially beef.
We look for good numbers again this year, you know, maybe even better than last year, and so we're cautiously optimistic. The best thing for the cattle and the meat sector in general is going to be when, you know, we can start getting people back to work and getting this, you know, the hospitality industries and some of these other businesses back going. That's going to make a pretty positive impact on the meat sector.
Again, that's Josh Mueller looking for a good year in 2021 for the El Dorado Livestock Auction. And Matt Teagarden with the Kansas Livestock Association says there are other things in Kansas that show potential for positive growth in the new year besides beef.
The other piece that we've seen is some significant opportunities on the dairy side. Quite a bit of growth in terms of the number of cows in Kansas, and so there's some dynamics there with some opportunities for additional milk processing.
So all in all, the Kansas Livestock Association looking for a pretty good year.
I think there is reason for optimism, and you know, our members are taking care of the cattle, the livestock, making sure they're fed, cared for. You know, that's their primary focus. But I think that there is reason for optimism.
So it looks like everyone is expecting a pretty good year in 2021. Here is hoping that you and your farm, no matter what you raise, have a great year. Ag Outlook 2021, a presentation of Steckline Communications and the Mid-America Ag Network. I'm Craig Mead. Thanks for listening. Join Kansas Corn and K-State Research and Extension for our Kansas Corn School webinar series. While we'll miss seeing you in person, we are hosting three webinars patterned after our popular Kansas Corn schools. Featuring top speakers from K-State and Kansas Corn, the Kansas Corn School webinars on January 21st, February 4th, and February 11th are a great way to prepare for the 2021 growing season. Register to get your Zoom access code today for the Corn School webinars at kscorn.com. The Kansas Livestock Association serves as a voice for 5,700 members on legislative and regulatory issues and stands as a resource for information pertaining to their businesses. KLA places a high value on the traditions of the past, yet seeks to be progressive enough to embrace the future. With a story that began over a century ago, KLA's mission to advance members' common business interests and enhance their ability to meet consumer demand endures. Whatever the future holds for Kansas livestock producers, they can count on one thing. KLA will be their riding point. For more information, go to KLA.org.
The Kansas Wheat Innovation Center in Manhattan is rediscovering ways to get improved varieties and new genetics in the hands of farmers faster. Grower-led and Checkoff-funded research initiatives are bringing about positive change. This grassroots leadership provides a strong voice in Topeka and Washington, D.C. Kansas Wheat Commission and Kansas Association of Wheat Growers, farmers investing in their future and yours. Log on to rediscoverwheat.org.
If you plant row crops, now is the time to get signed up for crop insurance with PNB Insurance in Wichita. Ron and Dan Pilecki have years of experience and can help you determine what the best coverage is for your farm. Insurance will never replace what a good crop will produce.
So don't let unpredictable weather destroy your year's work.
Call Ron and Dan Pilecki today at PNB Insurance in Wichita, 1-800-722-9525. That's 1-800-722-9525.
Grain sorghum producers, listen up. Sorghum Partners has an excellent hybrid for your farming needs. SP43M80 is a high-yielding, medium early grain sorghum with excellent sugarcane aphid tolerance. SP43M80 can handle drought stress and work well in dryland acres.
It's also a great choice for full season or double crop.
Ask your local sorghum partner dealer about SP43M80 or go online for more information at sorghumpartners.com. That's sorghumpartners.com.